Thank you. Say to you. Amen. They get better and better every year. Old age is the age of the best wine being the old wine, not the new wine. Vance and Linda, welcome back from Germany. So, I don't know if this is Linda's doing or Vance, but one of them bought this card for me. Remember when Jesus walked the hillsides preaching to the crowds? Wow, you're older than I thought. Happy birthday. Now, the truth is that some of my famous spiritual relatives were there. And I'm a part of a lineage, a family, of every many generations that passed the word down. So, in essence, I was there. My family was there, my spiritual family. And you're my spiritual family today. Amen? Well, I've been preaching teaching a summer series. This is the third message of series. Sometimes you all aren't here, sometimes you aren't. So I keep repeating until everybody, hopefully gets everybody, because I think what I'm teaching is very, very important. The name of this series is So Great a Savior, So Great Salvation. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 2, where we are exhorted in chapter 2 of Hebrews. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. It's important that we give heed to the Word of God so we don't drift away. Drifting away is a very real peril. And we got to stay centered in the Word and centered on Jesus Christ. For if the Word spoken through the angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? And it goes on to say, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, many male sons and female sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all the one, with which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, and He's not ashamed to call you and I brethren. We live in the brother and sisterhood of Christ. And it's important that we take heed to our salvation, that we not drift. You know, we're coming to the end of the summer. I hope there's been no drifting. I haven't sensed it. I've sensed that you've been holding steady and strong. If you've not been here, for those who were here, we've been having powerful services all summer long. And as we come into the fall, it's important that we take heed and that we focus and remember so great a Savior, so great a salvation. Now turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. In my notes, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Can I get someone to get a glass of water? Thanks. And I, in my notes here, I have written, do we just want a churchianity focus, or do we want a Christianity focus? If you don't just want a churchianity focus, say no. Come on. If you don't want just a churchianity focus, say no. If you want a Christianity focus, say yes. Thank you, buddy. Do we want a run-of-the-mill? Oh, come on, get with me, help me. Do we want a run-of-the-mill church? Do we want an overcoming faith church? Do we want just to maintain stagnation? Do we want momentum steadily? Yes. Are we a backwards-moving church? Are we a forward-moving church? Are we a human-centered church? Are we a Christ-centered church? Amen. You see, when we have the right focus, things tend to fall into place. Now, here in Colossians, I've been teaching four aspects, and I'm going to name them, and then I'm going to have you memorize them if you haven't. You might, if you're taking notes, put four columns across the page. The first column says regeneration. The second column says justification. The third column says sanctification. And the fourth column says glorification. And so, say it after me. Regeneration. Say it loud. Regeneration. Justification. Sanctification. Glorification. About 20 years ago, I said to myself, 30 years ago, well, maybe 40 years ago, I was in a young stage where, it was 40 years ago, where I said, I am going to look for contemporary terms in place of biblical terms so I can be contemporary. How foolish I was. For about 2 years, I tried to make my messages contemporary. I tried to look for things that were modern nomenclature. That means vocabulary. And after about 2 years, I realized my messages were losing their power. Now, the fact is, the authority of preaching is the Word of God. And I repented, which is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of conduct. And I repented before the Lord, and I went back to using biblical terminology. The world's telling us, you've got to change the vocabulary. I'm saying, we have the Word of God. When Jesus was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, He spoke and preached. He used a clear vocabulary. The apostles taught and preached a clear vocabulary. The 27 books of the New Testament, the four Gospels, and the epistles and the book of Revelation use down-to-earth, common sense, clear understanding vocabulary. And I returned to that, and my testimony is it tremendously re-enthused, revived, re-energized, refocused for the last 40 years a message that is clear, because you read the Word of God, you see the Word of God, you speak the Word of God, and you're not, it doesn't equivocate all over the place. It's clear. And that's why we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so I rediscovered what I was taught as a Baptist. Regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification. However, I rediscovered it in a better way than I was taught as a Baptist. In a Baptist, I was taught, okay, you got to get born again. So we sang Just As I Am every Sunday morning in church. People could come forward and shake the preacher's hand and say, I'm becoming a Christian. Or we would teach justification, our position before God, that we have, you know. And then sanctification, which means to externally embrace the legalisms of the church, you know, Make sure your hair is the right place and your skirts are at the right place, and externally you look like Christians. And then glorification, when you die, you'll get glory when you go to heaven. And I began to see the Lord taught me something different. Without a genuine experience of regeneration, personal regeneration, you do not have the life of God within your spirit. For when you're reborn, your spirit, which is dead to God, like a radio turned off that can't receive signals, your spirit is reborn, and now you can hear the voice of God. The life of God's in you. Your spirit is reborn. And then justification. Instead of just kind of being happy that I'm justified and my name is written in heaven, the Lord began to teach me that in justification, in my position in Jesus Christ, are hundreds and hundreds of benefits that are to my disposal if I seek to understand them and walk in the truth of them day by day. And so what does justification mean? Our personal position in Jesus Christ, seated in heavenly places with Him in glory. And then sanctification, instead of just being an outward conformity in a religious way, what does my church demand of me so I look good? The Lord began to teach me that the reality is the sanctification within the heart and the soul. And that opened up all kinds of things. I remember after 14, 15 years of pastoring, I discovered the doctrine of healing. I discovered the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I discovered other teachings and doctrines that are important that fed my soul and the inner person. And where before I tried to live pleasing, I was a pastor too, to please God, to conform to God, where I tried and tried, I couldn't somehow. The Bible says if you can't take control of your tongue, the most evil member of the body, you cannot approach maturity. And the truth is, my tongue was out of control way too often. And I tried and I tried until, through sanctification of the inner man, the internalization of Jesus Christ in the inner man, I gained a far greater potential fulfillment in my life. I'm not perfect yet, but you know what? It was like from here to here. Some to go. But you know what I'm saying, that the difference is very great. And sanctification no longer was religious conformity to my Baptist ways in the past. And you say, well, you know those Baptists. Well, you have Catholic ways, you have Presbyterian ways, you have Methodist ways, some of you have pagan ways. You know, there's all kinds of ways that we came, brought with us into the church. And I learned, and I praise God for what we had. It was an awful lot of great foundations. But I discovered that it's more than an external living and trying to be pleasing to God. It was an internal reality, for God favors us in our inner being, and therefore sanctification, being a set apart unto Him, is made available. As far as the fourth one, glorification, we were always taught, you know, when you die, you go to heaven, and that's when you're glorified. Well, I began to realize the Bible says we're being transformed from glory to glory under the image of Christ over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I thought, wow, to live in the glory of God here, heaven on earth, to live in the glory of God progressively from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from knowledge to knowledge, there's a progression where we are increasing in the glory of God increasingly. You don't have to wait till you die. Say amen. Amen. To me, salvation became meaningful in a personal way. And the fact is that that's what has to happen for all of us. Now let's just take a look at Colossians 2. Like for instance in verse number 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. That's regeneration. when you receive Christ as Lord, you can walk in Him. Before that, you didn't have the power in yourself. You only had your natural devices. And then number two, verse 7, justification. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Once we have regeneration, then there's a process of being taught all the benefits of our position in Christ, justification, that we are rooted and established in Him. And then thirdly, sanctification, established in the faith as you have been taught. He says that, so walk in Him, established in the faith, abounding with thanksgiving. And then that brings us to the glorification. It brings us into the abundance life, glorification, abounding with thanksgiving. And so in these four things, we have received Jesus, we walk in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, we're established in the faith as we have been taught, and we're abounding with Christ with thanksgiving. Amen? Now, if you can get this, you say, I got it, Thurlow. I wonder if a week from now you will be able to tell someone else about it. And you'll not forget. You know, Paul said, I teach Timothy, and Timothy, you teach faithful men and women, who in turn shall teach other faithful men and women. Truth has to be transferred to the fourth generation. If you receive it like Paul did, he told it to Timothy. Timothy told it to faithful people, and he was exhorted to teach it to other faithful people. It's usually by the power of testimony. You don't have to set them down and show them my charts, but you know what? You should, by testimony, say, well, you know, I've discovered there are four major wonderful stages of the Christian life, and I'm pressing forward. Now, you know, our identity in Christ is very, very important. In the first message I pointed out, in Titus and 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy and Ephesians and Romans and 1 Peter, that God planned all of this in eternity past. I took quite a bit of time to explain. Before time began, God prepared this plan that all things would come together in Christ the Messiah. So I'm not going to repeat those verses. But I just want you to know that we're walking out something that God always had in mind. It got messed up in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve choosing to follow the serpentine spirit rather than to obey the command. You may eat of every tree of the garden in the garden. How about that? You may eat oranges and apricots and peaches and, you know, every tree of the garden. God said, in Timothy, all things were created as good to be consumed. Every tree of the garden, but particularly you may partake of the tree of life, which in the Hebrew is the word Etz Chaim, which was the name of a Christian school, Jewish school that met right here in this building for several years. Etz Chaim, tree of life. But God said to Adam, you may not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you do, you shall surely die. And Adam should have taught Eve better. You know, husbands, you're the head of the home. You're the husband of your wife. You're the father of your children. You are responsible before God with an accountability to teach, because God spoke to Adam. And Adam did not speak directly to Eve. Adam was to be the covering and the teacher of his wife and eventually his children. And he failed. And there's been trouble ever since. And so a little bit of a side exhortation here. Husbands, fathers, take your role. Be a teacher. Be an example. Lead your family. Give them direction. My wife and I have always, she always planned for two things. Thurlow, you need to tell me what you believe and how you're leading so I can get in cooperation with you. But if you don't tell me, I can't get in cooperation with you. That was in the early days when I wasn't as confident in the Lord. And you would say that, right? If you just tell me what you believe, where you're going, then I can cooperate. She said, why don't we go on a family picnic? Well, okay, maybe. I'll think about it. We come down to the Saturday and, okay, let's go on a picnic. Well, why didn't you tell me on Tuesday? I could have got ready. But she said, I didn't give her direction and she couldn't get ready. It's a very practical thing that we husbands are a key to setting the standards of leadership of our family. Your wives, your children need your leadership. You need to speak into them. And then my wife and I, in time, came into the place where we said, by the grace of God, we will never deprive our children of the benefit of our perspective, of our biblical perspective. We will share, as they got, I'm talking about 16, 18 now, we will share our biblical perspective. Now, they may not receive it, they may not, they may do something different, but at least they got the benefit of our perspective. And you know what? 9.5 times out of 10, they received it, and when they were in situations where they had to make a decision, they followed the perspective. And we weren't there to tell them what to do. Are you with me? Teach the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. And so once again with me, stage number one is called Loud Now. Oh, I got you by surprise. Stage number one is... Well, let's do it again. You got to say it loud. Stage number one is... Stage number two is... Stage number three is... Stage number four is... Amen. You know... Our identity is very important in this state. Everybody talks about identity politics, and I won't go there. But our identity is very important. One time a teacher had their 8th, 9th graders class write down the name of every student in the class, maybe 30 students. And the teacher said, I want you to write next to each student what you see good about them. So they all got busy writing next to the name of every student what that student saw good about the other person. The teacher collected them. And at the next class, she called each student up front and read what the rest of the students said about them, one by one. And the next student, one by one. And the next student, one by one. A few years later, one of the boys was in the military in the Mideast, and he died in service to our country. They were at the funeral, and the mother says, I was going through my son's things, and I found this piece of paper. It was wrinkled. It so happened the teacher was there and some of the other students. And they pulled it out as well wrinkled and read what all those students thought about that young man. He had carried that piece of paper into war, and it looked like every day or several times a week he would pull it out and read it, what all his fellow students thought about him. And this is a true story. It said that other students in the same class stood up and said, I was there. I saved that list too, and I read that list. Another girl stood up and said, I was there in that class, and I saved that list, and I read that list. Our identity in Christ and how we treat one another is important. I remember in high school, Marcellus High School near Syracuse, New York, my Latin teacher, I took 4 years of Latin in high school thinking it helped me be a better preacher. It didn't help that part, but it sure helped me to be more disciplined. But my teacher's name was Mrs. Bishop. It's just coincidental. She was the nicest teacher I ever had. It's just coincidental that I married Linda Bishop. But one day I went up to Mrs. Bishop and I had her sign my yearbook. And she wrote something in there that I've never been able to forget. I don't want to forget. She said, "Thurlow, you have the nicest smile that I know of, Mrs. Bishop." Well, maybe she did that for everybody. I don't know. But it helped me to remember that I'm better leader if I smile than if I frown. Am I making sense? We need to remember what Jesus has done. You know, this is a challenging life. I found 2 weeks ago a commentary in the newspaper, "Why America is Great," by Sofa Bakuria. After a 14-hour flight from Tbilisi, Georgia, on January 11, 2016, my plane landed at Dulles International Airport. This was my first visit to the United States, a country which I had long admired for many years. America, where Ronald Reagan, as president, saved the world from the threat of communism and brought freedom to hundreds of millions of people. Remember, she's in Georgia. For my milestone generation in Georgia, Mr. Reagan's legacy was idolized. It wasn't yet born when the Berlin Wall came down, but I grew up in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, a beautiful country the size of Maryland. My father came to the United States in 2004 and we applied for my green card. I waited impatiently for it to arrive. I was always yearning to come to America, and most of the information when I was younger flickered on the screen of a small theater in my hometown of Tbilisi. There are beautiful love stories, adventures, stories about independent dreamers and schemers. And then I arrived. It's hard to express my initial impressions. Feelings were so strong. I remember smiling faces at the airport, a friendly atmosphere, and a feeling of freedom and liberty in the air. Everyone I met was polite. Everyone said, "Have a good day." My father took me to the White House, where I stared at the portraits and walked the same halls as Roosevelt, Kennedy, Reagan, and Bush. So much history in one place. It's a moment I'll never forget. Then we went to Capitol Hill. The wide marble halls with hallmakers and aides scurrying, reporters carrying tape machines and iPhones. This, I said to myself, was the heartbeat of democracy. America overcame the military superpower of the day at the founding, led the way in defeating Nazism and communism, and has been the world leader in exploring everything from swamps to the stars. I agree with Ronald Reagan when he said, "America truly is the last best hope for men on earth." This is her testimony. I'm not trying to be political here. Dreams come true in America, and I do believe my own dreams will come true. The main thing I learned at every foreigner must is that wishing is not enough. We need to work, do a good job, and never lose hope. No matter how many people tell you that you can't do it, keep going. Don't quit. Patience is our best friend. Every day I meet new and interesting people. I am becoming more independent. I do not look through rose-colored glasses. Unexpected joys and sorrows in life do happen. These surprises may make you smile and bring tears to your eyes. I recall Charlie Chaplin saying, "Nothing is permanent in this wicked world, not even our troubles." Competition is an underlying theme in America. You can only win with knowledge and experience. Competition can be positive since it motivates us and challenges us to do our best. A good education is not a luxury in America. No matter your race, color, or creed, college is available. Dream big. Become a doctor, a lawyer. Become a star in arts or tech field. Education will help my generation change the world. I know my rights will never be restricted in this country. My efforts and free work will never be wasted. People in this country are not interested in whose child you are, or wife, or husband, as in other countries. They look at you, and they look at what you can do on your own. There is a free media and a supremacy of law. All of us are equal with the right to vote, the right to express our opinions, the right to wish for a better life, and make that dream come true. Our freedom ends with the suppression of other people's rights. No matter how many sleepless nights working or studying, the end result is always the same, working toward a goal. I believe that no matter what your age, you can find success in America. This country offers my generation so much peace and security and a strong democratic environment. I believe America has always been great. That's why when I fulfill my goals, I will proudly say, I did it. Thanks, America. You know, we're blessed as a church because we have so many of you who have come from other countries, cultures, languages. And we thank God for you. It's not easy to go to a new country, to migrate, to immigrate, asylum, whatever the case may have been. But you're here. You're in our midst. I don't know if this lady's a Christian. She sure sounds like a woman of faith. But I know that when we walk by faith, that God helps us to work toward that goal for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Young people going back to school, work daily, every day. If you're a homeschooler, work every day. Pray and ask God when you're about 12, 13, even earlier if you want, 12, 13, 14, begin to pray and ask God, God, what are your purposes for my life? What's your goal for my life? Lord God, what are you preparing me for? And you'll probably come up with I don't know. It's okay. He's preparing you whether you know it or not. And as you go back to school this fall, for those who have already gone to college, for those who are entering into the yoke of learning. And I hope none of us ever leave that yoke of learning. I'm still in that yoke of learning. Recently we had a little flood in our house. A little teeny tiny hole in the back wall. The water found that hole and it flooded the basement and all the rugs, and we had to tear everything out lest we get mold. That meant my entire library had to be transported to the garage. Big piles. My library. 50 years building that library. I went off to Bible college with two things, Strong's Concordance and Matthew Henry's Commentary, given to me in graduation by my parents. I kind of had a little funny time. Deborah, remember we were out front there? Deborah, I said, we had to destroy 80% of the shelves that got wet at the bottom. I said, Deborah, you're in charge. You go through these shelves. I can't do it. You just decide which ones have to go. And she threw out 80% of the shelves. And we got to the end. This is the most dismaying thing that's ever happened to Linda and myself. Maybe there's been other things, but this is pretty serious. And for me, it's been overwhelming. But I keep my mind on Christ. I think, If I lost everyone, the ones I need the most are right here. These 66 books bound in this compendium, Old Testament, New Testament, is everything you need. When we were finishing up that day and Howard authorized, I went to one of my granddaughters, Jessica. She had just got married. I looked at her and I said, Jesse. Yeah, Grandpa. Jesse, I need your help. Oh, anything. Hey, anything, Grandpa. And she just graduated from University of Maryland, Towson. And she said, what is it? I said, oh, Jesse, I need your help. Oh, I need your help, Jesse. Oh, Grandpa, I'll do anything you want. And I said, Jesse, in there in the garage is a book on New Testament theology that I need. Would you go find it? I said, oh, Grandpa, she said, you are so funny. That's such a good joke. Are you tracking with me? All I'm saying today is, as you have received Jesus Christ your Lord, regeneration, conversion, the transference of His Spirit into our life. Number two, as you have positional salvation and forgiveness in Christ, so walk in Christ, rooted and built up in Him. Take the cultivated life, transactions that bring you toward God, that every day, everything is transacted with God. I love the thing that we had a couple of weeks ago. Claude said, don't run to the phone, run to the throne. And then I added, don't turn to the internet, turn to the eternal net. You know, the fact is that in these transactions, we turn to Him who's seated in heavenly places. The Bible says spiritually, legally, and functionally, we are seated with Him in heavenly places. And He's administering the kingdom of God in my life, transaction by transaction. And thirdly, progressive sanctification and growth, establishing the faith as we have been taught, the crucified life, transformation, and lastly, potential glorification and maturity, abounding in Christ with thanksgiving, the conformed life, conformed to Christ, transfiguration from the infant stage to the young man or child stage to the young man stage to the adult stage. I know I've taught these things before, but they keep my life stable. I feel like there are things that just stabilize my way to think. And I know for us, I know for Dan and Sylvia, same thing. These kind of truths stabilize our lives. And it will stabilize your life. You say, well, I already know these things. You need to remember these things. Like the card said, you know, my spiritual parents, your spiritual brothers and sisters were there with Jesus and they passed it on. And what did they teach us? What did Paul teach us? What I taught you today from the Word of God. God bless you.